In a world that can be challenging, and at times unpredictable, it's hard to find moments to focus on what you need. Join Stephanie James on The Spark as she guides you to use your inner flame to ignite your best life. As a best-selling author, psychotherapist, transformational life coach, and international show host, Stephanie is dedicated to helping you create a life that takes you, your goals, and your passions to the next level, so you can live a life that is fully lit up and fully alive. She believes that your life is meant to be a beautiful expression of the things that light you up. That by living your dreams, you give permission to others to do the same. Are you ready to feel alive and inspired to fuel your dreams and put a fire behind your desires? Let's ignite a spark in one another that will illuminate the world. The Spark, with your host, Stephanie James, starts now.
Welcome to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James. This is such an exciting episode for me. I am with my new home, my new radio home, BBS, and it's such a joy to be here. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm very excited about my guest tonight. I have with me Cynthia James. And Cynthia is a transformational coach and inspirational leader. She's been guiding people to make changes at a deep level for lasting healing. Cynthia just exceeds as a coach, as a speaker, a singer, multiple award-winning author. Some of her books have been What Will Set You Free and Revealing Your Extraordinary Essence and the number one Amazon bestseller, For I Choose Me, The Art of Being a Phenomenally Successful Woman at Home and at Work. Her newest book, Does My Voice Matter, will be released this year on September 27th. I am so thrilled to have with me tonight, Cynthia James. Cynthia, welcome to The Spark.
Oh, thank you, Stephanie. So happy to be with you.
I'm so happy to be with you. So let's talk about, first of all, you've had this amazing career, and we got to talk about that a little bit when we first met. Tell us a little bit for the audience, a little bit about the history of really how you got to where you are today.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I'm going to start when I was young, because when I was young, I saw myself on stages. I saw myself traveling the world. Made no sense because we were on welfare. There was a lot of craziness and violence in my childhood, and everybody thought I was a little crazy, you know. So when I was in high school, I became a model, and that opened some doors for me. And then I began to fly for Transworld Airlines, which no longer exists, as an airline hostess. And then that guided me into my singing and acting career. So I ended up in Los Angeles. I was on Lexia, the first Lexia on Days of Our Lives. I did a lot of television. I did a lot of film. I was opening act for Rich Little and Jay Leno at Harrah's, and I traveled around the country. I mean, it was, my family was kind of in awe that this little kid knew what she was going to do. But it's one of the things I tell people is your dreams matter.
Yes.
They matter.
Yes, I love that. So you were dreaming big even as a child. And there, it sounds like there was something in you that just knew this was part of your destiny.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I think because there was, you know, I had an alcoholic father and a pedophile stepfather, I think what people were calling fantasy were my escape mechanisms, but it was also tapping into the core of myself that was beyond my wildest imaginings of the moment, but it felt real.
Yes. Well, and it sounds like, I mean, that was one of the ingredients that helped you transcend your circumstances.
Yes, 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 absolutely.
Yes. And so you had this amazing music career. And then one of the things that we spoke about is that then you ended up in Denver.
So here's the thing, you know, transformation is not linear. Mm-hmm. And so here I am, I'm acting, I'm singing, I'm doing all these things. And all of a sudden, all these doors started closing. I had two children. I was a single mom. And it was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do to take care? And so this doorway opened for me to go to work as a temp in a media management company. That turned out to be a 7-year job that I moved into corporate communications, and I learned all these skills and I created all these events. And I was also in, I had this hunger for my learning. I was a seeker. So I was taking all these spiritual classes and workshops and becoming a spiritual practitioner. And then I got a call in my meditation to be a minister. And I was like, no, they do not have any fun. I am not being a minister. No. And the universe was like, okay, I'll wait, but you're going to listen to this, right? So that's what happened. I ended up in ministerial school. And when I was graduating, I got invited to come to Denver to the Mile High Church, which is one of the largest New Thought churches in the world, and to be an associate minister. And all the things I had learned and my training, I oversaw the women's ministry, the music ministry. I taught, everything I had learned up to that moment was what was utilized as I stepped into that ministry.
Yeah, I love it. And so was your first impression of ministers don't have any fun? Was that
gone? Gone. Well, and you know, I don't, because I grew up as an African Methodist Episcopal, right? And you know, was very staunch and you know, and I was like, oh, in New Thought churches we sing, we dance, we have, you know, it's like, oh, these are my people.
Oh, so, so amazing. And so, I mean, you know, and yeah, we continue to transform, right? We continue to grow. And so you got this calling that was, it sounds like it was beyond, you know, like things, sometimes we get this narrow scope and can see ourselves, you know, sometimes even unidimensionally. And so this was something that opened you up and, you know, even as you said, in greater ways than you could have imagined. What were some of the things that you experienced during your, was it 11 years?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it was very interesting because when I was a kid, my grandmother, who was like an advocate for me, told me, I see you on this mountaintop. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Right. So here I am on a mountain. And the other part was that when I was in ministerial school, we would do visioning, you know, kind of, you know, future casting for what's coming. And they all kept seeing that they saw me in this mountainous area and where I was going to get to be fully expressed. And so the gift I got while I was in that 11 years was I got to bring all of my gifts. I didn't have to hide. There was no micromanaging. I got to bring all of my gifts because it supported the ministry in its growth. And so it was joy for me. It was complete joy.
It sounds like it. I mean, with the music and all the different pieces, was there, I guess this kind of goes back a little bit, but not just during that time, but I'm curious who have been your mentors or who have been the people that really inspired you on this amazing journey?
Well, one of them is Michael Beckwith. He actually lived down the street from me before he was a minister and used to have these gatherings on the weekend. People would come together and pray and meditate and everything. So I was with him at Agape when it started, and I went through all the training, my ministerial training and everything. And he, a great mentor of mine. In fact, at times when I was thinking, oh, I can't go there, he'd be like, come on, you're going over here. And it was, you know, so absolutely him. Lisa Nichols. I mean, when I got the call to leave ministry and just go out on my own, I was kind of kicking and screaming too. And I didn't know how to run a business. I had helped other people build their businesses and their communities, but I hadn't done it on my own. And so I was at an event with Lisa Nichols, and I asked her if she could be a mentor. And she said, well, I don't have time to do that, but I'm going to gift you. And she gifted me a weekend in her global leadership program. I cried through the entire thing because it felt too big. And finally, I talked to my husband and I invested in this program. And I told Lisa, as I'm crying, okay, I'm going to come. And she said, why are you crying? And I said, because everybody in this room seems so powerful and so dynamic, and I'm not sure I belong. And she said, it's because you don't see the you I see.
Oh, that's giving me the chills. Yes.
Yeah.
I love that. Wow. So she already saw in you, and don't we need those kind of mentors in our lives?
Awesome. You totally do. Because you know what? I always say to people, if you're not afraid, it's too small, but you have to have people that can nurture you through those fear bumps, you know, through those seeming obstacles. You have to have somebody who's a cheerleader for you.
Absolutely. Yes. And that's, I imagine in your own experience, and I know from my coaching clients, and I imagine yours, when we can see those gifts in people, that's what helps them to grow, because then we are holding space for them to grow into the vision we already see.
Absolutely. And nudging them and helping them stretch, you know, because that whole program was a stretch for me. You know, and so between Lisa and the coach that I was assigned, you know, they weren't going to let me just slip and slide. It's like, no, you're accountable. And I think that's what we do. We love people, we see them, and then we nurture them into being accountable.
Yes, I love that. So many exciting things are happening right now. Check out my new book that's coming soon. And also, I have a film, When Sparks Ignite, coming on Plex Network on the More You channel. So these offerings are coming in June, and the book is Becoming Fierce, Creating a Bold and Beautiful Life. And I am talking with Cynthia James, who is actually one of the presenters at the Becoming Fierce Women's event here in Estes Park, Colorado in June. So thrilled to have her there with us, and so thrilled to have her here on The Spark. So welcome back, Cynthia James.
It's so wonderful to be here, Stephanie.
Thank you. So happy that you joined me, and I'm so inspired by you. You know, we've been talking about mentors, and, you know, you'd shared Michael Bernard Beckwith and then Lisa Nichols. When you talked about this powerful weekend, what was the title of that weekend again?
It was a global leadership program. Mm-hmm. It was actually a year. It was a year program, but this was it met four times a year on weekends.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you go to this powerful event. What is it that were your takeaways, or how did it stretch you?
Mm. Well, the first one was my relationship to money. That was the first. They were like, okay, let's get clear with where you are with money. What are your stumbling blocks? So, you know, I had to look at my finances, and I would manage my stuff, but it definitely wasn't a deep dive. Right. And so I had to look at all my finances, what was coming in, what was going out, what was my budgeting. I mean, I had to create a budget. And for the first time, I kind of felt like a grown up. It was like, oh, this is what it's supposed to be. And I had to project. This is what I want to create. And this is how I want to create it. So that was the first thing. Mm-hmm. The second thing was that I was assigned a coach who was the perfect fit for me, and who wanted to know my vision, wanted to know my gifts, wanted to know how I wanted to deliver them, and then helped me create the strategy to do that, which I would never have known by myself, right? And then the third thing was, it's like, how do I want to market my brand and sell it? And you know, I'm very comfortable in front of people. I'm very comfortable being with people, but selling was always kind of a little thing, because I didn't really get that it wasn't some slimy selling job. It was really being in service to people and offering my gifts that could support their growth.
Yes. Yes. And so once you got this, it sounds like, and you had this coach and you were able to move into this. What is that, what the time that then you became a coach as well?
Well, I had already stepped away from Mile High. My last 3 years, a couple things happened at Mile High. One is my adrenals went into fatigue. And I was told by the doctor that, you know, I was headed towards Addison's disease if I didn't stop what I was doing. And I've always been a go-getter and I've always been a lot of energy and I've always been doing all these things. And so when I went to the senior minister and said, this is what's happening, he said, you need to take a sabbatical, a 3-month sabbatical. And I was like, well, no, I can work part-time. He was go, this is not negotiable. I need you to go figure out how to take care of yourself. So in that 3 months, I really got that. I didn't eat well. I wasn't sleeping well. I mean, I've been meditating for 40 years, I wasn't choosing me. That's how that book came, actually. I wasn't choosing me and honoring me because I had come from 5 generations of women who hadn't taken care of themselves. So I didn't know how. So that was the first part. And so when I finally went back to work, I don't know, 2-3 months in, I start getting in my meditations that I'm to leave. And it made no sense. It's like, to go what, where and do what? I don't have client, nothing. And it just kept getting louder and louder. And we have these Christmas services, like these candlelight services. And every time I would walk off the stage, because we did 6 of them, every time I'd walk off, something would happen in my body. My body would constrict some. And I am a mind-body person. So I'm like, what is this? And the last time I walked off by myself behind the stage, a still small voice said, you are done here. And I looked around and there was nobody. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? So I went into prayer meditation, like really intense for 2 weeks. And I said, then you got to show me how to get out of this. What's my exit strategy? So I left 6 months later and I got an office and I did a lot of praying and meditation because I didn't even know how to market myself. I hadn't even gone into Lisa's program yet. And referrals started coming. And so what I realized is that I had a degree in spiritual psychology and I had created, one of our tools was to create our own counseling strategy. And I had created emotional integration, which was how do you connect the mental and the emotional and the physical. And so I just started doing that and it kind of caught on fire.
Beautiful. I love that. I love that. So you were already cooking, so to speak, like it was already happening and spirit was bringing you
yes.
what you needed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Which is how it works, really. When you surrender, the universe syncs up with you. It just does.
Well, and that's so funny that you said that because it's exactly what I was just thinking. And I was thinking back to our first conversation together that we were, you know, visiting about that and talking about that power of surrender. And when we're not trying to control things, when we're truly listening to spirit and surrendering to that which is bigger than us, magic starts happening. Serendipities start lining up.
Every single time. Yeah.
Yeah. Every time. So let's talk a little bit about then. So this book, Chosen.
No, that's the CD. The CD is
Chosen. Oh, the CD is Chosen. Okay. So tell me about this first book though, that came out.
The first book that I did was called What Will Set You Free. And it ended up being the foundation for my emotional integration work. But the book that came out right when I was starting my own practice was I Choose Me. Yeah. And I started doing research. And women had been property until the early 1900s. And our job was just to get married, procreate, take care of the family, you know. And as women were starting to say, well, what if that's not all there is? What if I have other gifts? What if I want to do other things? You know, it started to create disruption with the masculine who thought we should be over here. And we were taught that if we took care of ourselves first, if we honored ourselves first, if we nurtured ourselves first, we were selfish, we should feel guilty, mm-hmm. and that we were going to challange the environment. But that's backward, because the healthier we are, the stronger we are, the more powerful we are, the higher the frequency of the environments we inhabit. And so that book came out of that. I was like, what does it mean to be a phenomenal woman at home and at work, so that you can be the fullness of who you came here to be?
Yes. Beautiful. Yes. And so often I think, and what we've found during these times of pandemic and all the things in the last couple of years, is we have to learn how to do that. We have to learn how to choose us. You know, the term that I use is, how do we befriend ourselves? Yes. So that we become priority in our own lives, and that is not selfish.
Yes.
And how do we then, and maybe you can speak to this as well, rise above the challenges and circumstances that we may find ourselves in? Because you were speaking about, it sounds like, some horrific things in your own childhood that you transcended.
Yeah. You know, Stephanie, I did a TED talk called "The Past Does Not Define Us," and that's the bottom line of what you just asked. Everything you've been through, every circumstance, every relationship, every challenge, it's an event, it's an experience. It has impact mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, sometimes financially. It has impact, but you are always at choice. You get to choose to be the captain of your own ship. You get to choose to move differently. And you need help. I mean, I had therapists and I had coaches, you know, because otherwise I was just spinning. But the thing is like I said, I do not have to repeat my familial patterns. So if I don't, then what do I need? I need to create new patterns within myself. New ways of being, new ways of thinking. One of the things I talk about in the TED Talk is that we had kitchen wisdom, my grandmother's kitchen wisdom, which was pretty negative. Actually, it was like, you know, you're Black, it's not going to matter. You're a woman, it's not going to matter. I mean, all that stuff, you know, that's bombarding you. So you have to get clear about what's that mind talk, that monkey mind talk that tells you you're less than, that you're not worthy. And then what do you do to find the antithesis of it, that you're powerful and you're brilliant and you're unrepeatable. And so that was the work. That was like, every time those old kitchen wisdom things would pop in, I would go, no, because I'm powerful. No, because I'm brilliant. No, because I'm here to make a difference. And that inner battle went on until the larger voice became predominant.
Yeah. Oh, that is powerful. And so it's like through repetition almost of like challenging that belief, challenging those old messages that it came through.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, I've got a door full of vision maps. that every year I do a new vision map and I how I wanted to show up, how I wanted to be, how I wanted to be received, what kind of clients I wanted, how did I want to operate in the world. I mean, you have to do things on multiple levels to just keep feeding you so you shift your mindset, because we're not here to suffer.
Yes. Yes. And so and that's just it. Kind of like when you were talking about being on the retreat with Lisa Nichols. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of that was like, how do I view money? And so often it's so subconsciously programmed, we don't even know. We're not even aware that we have these limiting beliefs.
And we don't want to invest in ourselves. I'd rather spend the money over here on my family member or on a dress or on whatever, instead of investing in the thing that ignites you.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. And so then, you know, fast forwarding to what you were just talking about, what you were just speaking to, the way that we can transform how we experience ourselves and see ourselves in the world is also exercising that same muscle that challenges those limiting beliefs or challenges the kitchen wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That then becomes our reality.
Right. And that's where you want to build a treasure chest of tools, because the same tool may not work for this thing as it did for that thing. But you, when you've got a lot of tools and a lot of skills that you can use, then you get to move through these challenging moments in an accelerated way.
Yeah. Yeah. And for you, Cynthia, what have been some of the most important tools in your own life, and then those that you share with the people that you work with?
Well, my spiritual practice is non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I get up in the morning, I have an hour spiritual practice. I read, I journal, I meditate, I do breath work. I mean, because I know that's, you know, setting the tone for that, for the day in that way is important for me. Exercise also, you know, it's like, I mean, I try to walk a mile or two a day, and I have weights, and I, you know, I was going to the gym all the time. When COVID hit, I kind of moved away from that because it was interesting to watch how people were responding. So, but I have a treadmill at home. I mean, I take care of myself. And then eating, I realize that this is the temple. This is the conduit for me to deliver the gifts that I am. If I don't nurture it, it will not take care of me. And so I can't control what the end result of my aging and my leaving this planet will be, but I can definitely be conscious about what I do to take care of it while I'm here.
Yes. And that sounds like what you were just sharing. You know, that we have to put ourselves first.
Yes.
We have to take care of ourselves first.
Yes. And the moment you do that, you become clearer the way you think, the way you respond, the way you react in situations. You know, we've been watching in this world all kinds of behaviors that for some of us are just appalling, you know, and what it says to me is like, there's a lot of unhealed wounds and unhealed ways of being that people don't even know how to be conscious and kind and compassionate and loving. So they just go to war, or they just think that it has to be this struggle and this fight, as opposed to connectivity and collaboration. And curiosity about who are we and what are our similarities.
And we know that. I mean, we know that when we work or connect from that mindset, it's transformational.
100%. 100%. You know, how do people like Gandhi transform a nation? You know, how does Mother Teresa transform the whole way of looking at caring for the sick? I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just feel like we're going to have disagreements because we're not the same, but we don't have to be enemies and we don't have to try to hurt one another.
Yeah. Yes. Beautiful words. I'm your host, Stephanie James, and I am here with the incredible Cynthia James. And soul sisters for sure. Even if we're not related, just so thrilled at this connection and so happy to share your wonderful wisdom and messages with our listening audience. Cynthia, you know, one of the things we've been talking about is this art, if you will, of surrender. Mm. And you know, I know that's one of the things we've connected about and one of the important governing pieces in your life. How about, you know, now, as you look at the latest things happening in your life, how is the art of surrender continuing to show up?
You know what? I am learning, and I will preface this. I am learning not without my own inner resistance, because there were moments of resistance, and you know, resistance can be your friend because it's an opportunity to look at your belief systems. But I, this whole year of launching a book and a CD, our acts of surrender, I was told to write this book 4 years ago, and I wrote it, and I did this book proposal, and I sent it to this big publisher, and they liked my writing, and they liked the concept, and then they came back and they said, "We really like you, but your platform is not big enough, so we're not signing you." And it triggered something little in me of not belonging, not being important. And so I kind of put the book aside, and it started coming back in my consciousness about a year and a half ago. And I kept being told, let go, let go. And the moment I would say, okay, what does that mean? How do I do that? Stuff would start coming in. I would start downloading things that I would write. And so, because the book is called Does My Voice Matter? And what it does is it chronicles my life, the decades I've been on this planet, and how culture and situations, you know, supported me in having to navigate finding my voice. And so I also started noticing as I was writing the book, I'm getting more and more clients are going, you know, I just don't think I have a voice. I mean, it was like, it was totally parallel. At the same time, I've been recording for years, but I haven't recorded a CD in 4 years. And a friend of mine, Catherine, who's an incredible author and singer, out of nowhere, we're having a conversation and she goes, I think you need to meet these two men. And they're called the Brothers Corin. And what they do is they work with artists, right? And so I go, okay, well, I don't know why, but I'll get on with them. And it was like long lost brothers that I hadn't seen in a long time who totally got who I was. And they said, we would love to do an album with you, but we don't do it in the normal way. You're a songwriter. And I said, yes. And they said, but we would like you to write this without the keyboard or a pen. We would like you to just have a recording with you and just open and ask the universe to come through you. Like 15 songs came and we picked 7 for the album, but it was the most extraordinary experience because I didn't even realize it when it was happening. It was mirroring the book.
Wow. Wow. Oh my goodness. And so truly talk about surrender.
Right.
You know, not having your usual format, not having...
Yeah, the structure, you know, and, you know, I'm a highly creative person, but I like order, you know, and I like to know how things are going to unfold, you know, and it was none of that, you know, I mean, it would drop in right now, you know, I mean, it was fast, or I'd be in my car and sitting in a parking lot and this song would drop in. I mean, yeah.
So great. Well, and I want to share with the audience that I had the privilege of hearing one of Cynthia's songs that she shared with me from the album, and I have not been able to get it out of my mind since. I mean, it is phenomenal, and it makes so much sense. It's inspired. It's divinely inspired.
Yeah, and you know, it really, I mean, I've been teaching for many, many years to open to the divine, to open to universal guidance, to your intuitive knowing for years. But this is a whole nother level because when you truly let go, it opens you up to places that you haven't even thought of or perceived.
Yes. Yes. And so to do this book launch and the album launch, when is all this coming out?
Well, the first single for this album comes out in June and the second one will come in July and August 1st will be the whole album. And then in September will be the book.
Fantastic. Oh my gosh, how exciting. And so what's happening now in your life? I mean, yes, all this releasing of these things, you know, these beautiful creative projects coming to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's inspiring you now?
Oh, there's a couple of things. You know, I'm very dedicated to women, and I'm dedicated to us stepping into our power. So I have a partnership with a woman that we created a company called Women Creating Our Futures. And we've been, for the last 7 years, we've had once a year retreats, and then we have programs, an online mastermind program, and then a year-long program for entrepreneurs and leaders. And so we are, because of COVID, you know, we stopped a lot of the in-person stuff and had to rebrand and recreate ourselves. So now it's to the place where we can do things that we have an international group of women that are coming in and working. So that is my passion. I love that. And then the other part is I am on a board for an organization called the Global Livingston Institute, and they work with people in Uganda. So I support their women's leadership there, and I go once a year. We haven't been for 2 years, but I'm going to go again this year and do a leadership retreat for women that mixes, you know, Western women with Ugandan women. And we talk about how do we step into our power.
That is phenomenal. Oh my goodness. And it just makes sense to me when I asked you to do this women's retreat with us. This is your thing. This is one of the passions that you have. And I'm curious too, Cynthia, you know, you in and of yourself are this amazing story of transformation and truly, I mean, just igniting your gifts and what you have to share, that spark within you that you've shared with the world. Is there a story that you can share of anyone that you've worked with that you feel like, wow, I saw this person that I worked with and then it just ignited this thing in them?
Yeah, I was teaching a class, and a woman stood up and she said, okay, I'm afraid to say this, but I've got this vision that makes no sense to me. I want to have a place that's kind of like a spa where people can come and rejuvenate and heal. And it's different than other spas. And I said, wow, do you know how to do a spa? She was like, no. Well, do you have the money to do a spa? No. Okay. She said, but I figured if I stood up that eventually something would happen. What she didn't know is that within the next 2 years, her husband would become very ill and pass, leave her with income. And she started working with me on how do I bring this dream to life? And so we were doing spiritual practice and integration work. She found a building in Littleton, and she started going to all of these conventions to find different kinds of treatments and things like that. So today, she is the owner of the Five Wellbeing Spa. It's an amazing place to go. It exemplifies what she spoke of. And I honor her because even in those moments of fear, it's like, oh God, what am I doing? But she kept moving, and it's highly successful today. And it's extraordinary because she had to go through grieving, becoming a single mother, learning about a relationship to money. She came into my all program, the entrepreneur program, so she could learn how to do a business. I mean, she invested in herself and her dreams.
Yes. I love that story. That it's so beautiful. And that's what it starts with, right? It starts with having the dream, allowing yourself to have that vision, to have that dream. And then I think it does help finding people like yourself, like some of the work that I've done and so many of our colleagues, that we have mentors. And then when we find that person, like you've, you know, just shared, that helps stretch us, that helps keep us accountable.
Yes.
And then we're able to even vision beyond what we thought possible. That is just what a powerful story.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm grateful to know her and to be a witness to her expansion.
Yeah. Oh, so Cynthia, number one, how can people get your book? How can people start listening to the single when it comes out in June?
So CynthiaJames.net, everything is there. You can, there's a whole section for women, and there's a whole section on products, and there's, you know, those videos and things. And so, and my newsletter, you can sign up for my newsletter that comes out once a month. And it always tells everybody what I'm doing and invites them into the products.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. And so, you know, as we're getting ready to wrap up, I'm curious for you, you know, I mean, you shared so much wisdom with us already. And I just, you know, if you had an essential message that you wanted to leave with the listening audience, what would that be?
You're here by a divine appointment, that there's no one else that can do what you came to do the way you've come to do it. And you can trust that. And those things within you, those dreams and those visions, they have delivery systems. Just continue to look for them, open to them, and trust the process.
Awesome. Cynthia, what a joy to have you here on the show. I'm so looking forward to our event in June. Just treasure this time.
Thank you. I'm very grateful to be here. And it's so wonderful to witness what you're doing and how you are affecting people. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay. Join us again here on BBS. And we'll continue bringing you amazing shows like this with with Stephanie James, with Cynthia James, with the two of us. Oh my goodness. Join us again here on The Spark.